Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. If you're a regular listener to the show, then you know that the show is unique in that it isn't always about me and the behavior edition. It sometimes is the veterinary edition. And I alternate between myself and Dr. Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And it sometimes gets a little confusing because this time slot is shared by sports programming. I don't always do a straight rotation. So I just wanted to share with people that come the month of August, I'm going to be back for the first Saturday in August, which is going to be next week, which is the 5th, which is, you know, again, not a typical rotation where I do 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going to now. And then on the 12th is going to be Dr. Dennis. Then on the 19th, there's not going to be a show because of a Red Sox game. And then on the 26th is going to be Dr. Dennis. So I'm here next week. If you want to call in with a medical question, stay tuned for the 12th and the 26th. And if you want to listen to Red Sox, that's going to be on the 19th. So I usually post that on my website, but I don't think I've put those dates up yet. And the month of September, I think there's going to be a Pet Talk show every Saturday in the month of September. I'm just not sure who's going to be covering which date. So when I do know that, I will post it on my website. But for right now, I'm not really sure, but pretty sure there's going to be Pet Talk every week in September. Do we have a call? Yes. Okay. We have a call. So now we'll see my amazing button pushing skills can put them on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Dennis?
This is Dennis. Hi, Dr. Dennis.
I'm not Dr. Dennis. Were you listening?
Oh, my God. I was, but and you were saying when she's going to be on, but you have a similar voice for some reason.
That's so funny. Well, a lot of people get us confused. And sometimes when I say to people, I'm not Dr. Dennis, people don't believe me and they keep calling me doctor. And I say, I'm not Dr. Dennis.
No, I believe you.
Okay. So now that we've got that cleared up, do you have a question for me or do you want to wait for Dr. Dennis?
Well, I'm going to call Dr. Dennis back, but I would just like to speak to your show because last week, I had a cat, the fat man, who had been missing for quite some time.
Okay.
And she spoke to me, and she theorized, like I did, that maybe someone has him. And, you know, he's just in there. But anyway, I spoke with her at around a little past 1 o'clock last week.
Okay.
And, at 8:30 that night, my cat, who had been missing for 11 days, at 8:30 at night, was standing on my front porch and just walked in after being gone for 11 days.
Yep.
He just went for a walk in the park.
Well, who knows? Who knows what he was doing for those days? I mean, I used to live on Girard Avenue, which is on the west end of Hartford. It's kind of across. Okay, it's sort of across from Sisson Avenue, and I lived on a first floor apartment. And somebody was watching my cats and left the window open. Not too smart,
oh,
but
no.
Anyway. So one of my cats disappeared, and this is probably off topic of Pet Talk, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? There's an astrologer who specializes in something called horary astrology, where it's like a predictive astrology thing.
Yeah,
and this guy, he still practices. His name is Alfie Lavoie. So I said, well, you know, what do I got to lose, right? So he said, your cat will come back either in 10 hours or in 10 days. And, you know, I wasn't like I wanted to leave the window open every day because,
yeah.
All right, so 10 hours later, no cat, kept the window closed, everything locked up. 10 days later, I popped the window open and, you know, kind of locked the door, so put a chair under there in case somebody besides my cat came. And 10 days later, yep, there's my cat. So, you know, I've heard of cats and dogs coming back quite a bit of time later. And, you know, obviously the cat was eating something. I don't know what, but, you know, it definitely does happen. So,
Interestingly enough, I was someplace yesterday and where I had one of his flyers posted with his picture on it and all of my credentials. And I said, oh, I'm taking all my posters down because my cat came back. And I said, the cat was gone. And simultaneously, when I was saying that, she said at the same time I did, for 11 days. And I said, how did you know my cat was gone for 11 days? And she said, I have lots of friends who are cat people, and it's very common for a cat to just go away for 11 days. So 10 days is pretty close, but she said they do that. And I said, this cat doesn't leave my sight usually, and he was orphaned, so he sticks around the yard. Both of my cats are indoor, outdoor, but he just, you know,
well, that's a weird bit of trivia. She was saying that people who know a lot about cats who go missing, that they go on like a 10 or 11 day kind of something, little adventure of some sort.
Yes. Well, she said she's had many friends, over a dozen friends who have cats, who have had a cat that has specifically gone away for 11 days.
Ooh, this sounds like a secret cat society conspiracy.
And I'm thinking, yeah. Well, they do that, but they know, you know, that's in between the cats. They don't tell us anything about it.
Yeah. So well, that's strange. That's interesting.
I thought it was funny that someone was familiar with a cat being gone for 7 days and knows many
people. Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to tell me something completely different, like they read your poster and that there was a date on it and they were keeping track of it. Not that, oh, yeah, that's the normal amount of time cats disappear for.
I had one cat who was, when I lived in a more rural area, which was up in Norfolk, Connecticut, and he went away for a whole summer one time.
And then came back?
Yeah, he came back. He, you know, he left at the end of May, and then, you know, at the start of September, he came home.
Wow. Yeah, well, it is a really interesting question. What happens when these cats do that? I guess they'd have to have some little tracker or something like that.
Well, that's actually what I'm planning on doing, is getting him one of those Apple AirTags for his flea collar.
Okay. I understand they work pretty well. I think they have a pretty good range, so we just need to make sure that, you know, that it stays on there, because cats also have a very are very good at getting rid of things that are on their neck.
They sure are.
You know, I was watching a video. I don't even remember where I saw it. I go off on these tangents watching things. But it was somebody who had set up a camera and a microphone so they could watch their cat. And
I love that.
Their cat was going into the cabinet and opening the cabinet. And so on the microphone, the guy said, hey, what are you doing? Don't do that. And then the cat stopped doing it. And he said, don't go in there. What's wrong with you? Or something like that. At which point the cat started focusing on the camera and the microphone. And then you can see the cat getting closer and closer to the camera. And the cat jumps up and swats the whole thing down. That's the end of that.
Well, what I had done with my cat is, since he was missing for 11 days, I was not letting him out. I said, I'm never letting him out as long as he lives. And so yesterday was day 6 of him being quarantined. And then he was finally like, just going crazy to go outside.
Yeah.
So I went back outside last night, and I hung out with him, and he hadn't been out since he'd been home. And he just did his routine around the yard and in the backyard and checked out the garage. And then he came back in for a while, and then he went back out. And he's just like his normal self. Now he's on his routine. He was out this morning, and then it started to rain, so he came in.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you put the tracker on your cat and he disappears again and he's, you know, wandering about somewhere, let's say you discover, I don't know, I'm just making this up, that he's like half a mile away at some apple farmer, I don't know, would you then go try to track him down where he is and get him and bring him back?
I don't think so. No, I just want to know where the heck he is. No, and that's the thing. Both of my cats are miserable if they have to stay inside all the time.
Yeah, well, once a cat gets used to going outside, it's very difficult to tell them that they're not going to do it anymore, unless they're older and they've just had enough of that. But, yeah, okay, well, if you do that and you you could even have, like, a little blog about it or put up some kind of video, because I think I would be interested to know where this cat went. So I'm sure other people would be, too. So if it comes to that, then you got to call back in and talk to me and tell me what happened. Okay. Deal?
Oh, I certainly will.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Well, that sounds interesting. Okay. We need to go to a break. So we'll be. Thanks for calling, Dennis. I appreciate your call. Okay.
Awesome. See you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, I had an old dog and his name was Blue. And bet you $5 he's a good dog, too.
Hello, and welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. And if you'd like to call in, the numbers are 860-522-WTIC, which translates to 860-522-9842. And if you want to talk to me, but you really don't want to call into the radio, that's okay, too. You can contact me through all my contact information on my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. And you can email me. You can call me off the air, and that's great, too. But I do like getting calls when I'm on the air because that way I don't just have to talk all by myself. But I do want to talk about something that was on the news recently. And I could probably do a whole show on this, but I'm not going to get too carried away, but I might continue to talk about it after the break, depending on how it goes. But there was recently a news story about a police dog who bit. It was actually the guy that he bit was a trucker. He was driving an 18-wheeler, and apparently the state police in Ohio were following him down the road, and I think they were stopping him because he had a missing mud flap. And there seemed to be a lot of police on this, so I think mud flaps are there to prevent the truck from kicking things back at drivers that are following them behind. But in any case, the state police wanted him to pull over, and he was getting nervous. He didn't want to pull over. And then he did finally pull over, and somebody from the local police department also arrived on the scene. The person from the local police department had a police dog. And the basic premise of this story, or the idea of the story that everybody is upset about, and I certainly could see why, is that the police dog was sent to attack the guy from the truck, who is a 20-year-old young black man who, you know, had his hands up. He was clearly surrendering. And the state police said at least 3 or 4 times, do not unleash your dog. Do not unleash your dog. And, well, I guess we know the end of that story. That didn't happen. So, you know, I watched this video, and I watched it multiple times to see, you know, what exactly was going on here. So, you know, the local police guy, whose name I don't know what it is, although he's suspended, if not fired, and in a heap load of trouble. When the state police were saying, don't do that, don't unleash your dog, it was like over his head totally. But to be honest with you, it looked to me, as from a training point of view, and before you say, well, what do you know about dogs that do bite work? Well, I was trained by Captain Haggerty, who is very well known as a trainer. He's no longer with us, but he did a big business with guard dogs. And so it wasn't my original intention to learn about this stuff, but you pretty much can't study with Captain Haggerty without learning about guard dogs. So know, I just wanted to preface what I was saying with that so that people didn't think I was just, you know, being emotionally reactive to this stuff. But so the guy that had the police dog gets out of his police car with his dog, and he's holding the dog, looks to me, by the collar. And if he's not holding the dog by the collar, it was a very short something that he was hanging on to. So the dog was already unleashed. He was just hanging on to him by the collar. The other thing was, the dog clearly thought this was, oh, yay, I get to jump out of the car and bite somebody. The dog was all fired up. And if you're looking at the canine officer and the canine dog walking from the other side of the highway across the sort of lumpy, grassy area, they're walking, the guy is not looking real steady on his feet. And, you know, the both of them looked like they were out of control. The cop was not listening to what the state police were saying. The dog was already, like, chomping at the bit to do what he thought he was supposed to be doing. I mean, they're trained to bite, and they do like biting. They probably like biting as much as my youngest dog, Arrow, likes playing Frisbee. So he thought, whoa, yeah, we get to bite somebody. So then when he finally got to the other side of the road, and this is probably my favorite part of this video, he and I shouldn't make light of it, but it was a little weird, and I don't even know if people are paying attention to this part, but when he got to the other side of the road, he lets go of the collar. Well, when he lets go of the collar, he's facing away from the guy who had his hands up and started running towards one of the state police guys. Now, I don't know what would have happened if he got up to the state police guy, if he would have thought that was the person he was supposed to bite. But as he was approaching the state police guy, the dog handler called his dog back and was waving his arms around. I'm not really even sure what he was saying, but, you know, he was like trying to redirect the dog. And I'm pretty sure dogs that do police bite work are not trained to bite decoys wearing police uniforms. I'm guessing. Okay. So he probably saw the state police guy and said, this isn't looking like my usual person that I'm supposed to bite. So in any case, he drops the collar. He lets go of the dog. The dog's going the wrong darn way, headed towards the state police. So then he's flagging the dog down. And instead of telling his dog to come to him, which probably would have been a nice thing to do, he's flagging his dog to him. And then at some point, his arm like kind of points out like over there towards this poor kid who's standing there with his arms up in the air. And that's when the dog starts biting the kid. Okay. And for whatever reason, which, you know, I think I'm going to end up talking about this after the break, but police dogs are not trained to let go on a verbal command. They only let go when you pry their mouth off. And I was told, well, that's because we don't want somebody else to tell them to let go, as if that would happen. That's not going to happen, guys. You know, I hate to tell you. So not having the dog properly under control, not calling the dog to recall, not having a verbal command to let somebody go meant that this local police guy had to now go over to the dog and pry him off of this guy. And in the meantime, you can see the state police kind of like rubbing their head, shaking their head, looking all stressed out, which I don't blame them. But we're going to talk more about it after the break.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. I was explaining earlier that I alternate the show with Dr. Dennis, who does the veterinary edition of the show. And sometimes the rotations are confusing. So just to let you know, I'm going to be on again next week. So if you wanted to call in, but you couldn't quite formulate your question, or you didn't think of it just yet, you get a second opportunity to call in next week. But if you want to call in right now, the lines are open and the numbers are 860-522-WTIC, which is 860-522-9842. And if you'd like to call in when Dr. Dennis is on, she'll be on the 12th and the 26th of this month. And on the 19th is going to be Red Sox. So if you have a pet-related question, you don't want to call in on the 19th. So anyway, before the break, I was talking about the news story about a local police dog that, despite state police telling them to not unleash his dog, dog wasn't even on a leash to begin with. So he was holding him by the collar, and it was a truck driver who they pulled over for not having a mud flap. And the guy who had the dog, the officer who was supposed to be in control of this dog, got to the other side of the highway and just, I don't know if he did it on purpose or not. He looked to me like whatever he did was pretty out there and not under control because, as I said before the break, when he let go of the collar, the dog was going the wrong way. The dog was headed towards one of the state police officers. Nice going, dude. So obviously, you don't really know. Your handling skills leave a lot to be desired here. But, you know, there's just certain things, you know, honestly, this has kind of brought up a lot of this is all over the internet. If you want to get details, you can watch the video. It's all over the place. A lot of people are bringing up objections to the whole concept of using police dogs anyway. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I feel about that. To me, a police dog is a type of a service dog. And I believe that service dogs work as a team with their handler. So if the handler is a little sketchy or not quite doing what they're supposed to be doing, I can't very well expect the service dog, whatever the service is, whether it's police service, guide dog, or whatever, to be doing a very good job either. And that's one of the reasons that I'm not a real big fan of police dogs being deployed out of sight and the handler can't see what's going on. Because if a dog is going to get hurt, that's going to be a time where it's going to happen. And I've heard of multiple instances where police dogs have been hurt, and they're not even in some instances really sure exactly what happened. If the person they were sending the dog on did it, or if the dog got hurt going over some obstacle. But I don't think that a dog should be put in that position. I just, you know, you need to keep your dog in view, in my opinion. Okay. The other thing is, I mentioned this before, I do not get this police dogs only let go when you pry their mouth off. That's ridiculous, okay? And it had been explained to me, well, you know, we don't want somebody else telling the dog to do it. If your dog has some discretion, which if it doesn't have some discretion, it shouldn't be a police dog, then it's not going to listen to somebody you just told them to go bite. Dogs are not that, you know, oh, I hear the word, I'm going to do it. If it were that, if dogs were like that, I wouldn't waste my time at all trying to teach people how to handle their own dogs. I would train their dog, and when the dog heard this word, doesn't matter who says it, dog's going to just do it because it heard that word. Yeah, it does not work that way. I mean, I'm quite certain that I've talked about this before. So it absolutely doesn't work in that way. And, you know, as I said, I have had the experience of working with dogs doing bite work. I had one of my own dogs that I trained to do bite work. And this is like goes way back. I don't even know if a lot of you even know the show PM Magazine. I was on PM Magazine with my dog that I had trained to do bite work. And one of the things that I was demonstrating is while he was doing bite work, I was having the person who was being the decoy, you know, with the sleeve, the bad guy, whatever, tell him to stop it, let go, no, out, don't do that. And my dog didn't care at all that he was saying that. Now, if I can train a dog to not care at all when somebody else is saying it, I'm sure the police can do the same thing and train the dog to understand a verbal command that you don't even necessarily have to be standing over your dog. So that's training point number one. Training point number two is I always tell people to be careful of what I call choreographed training, pattern training, something that you do over and over and over again. It becomes automatic. Okay. So let's just say, you know, this is a hypothetical situation here. Let's say I took my dog Arrow, who's pretty gosh darn fired up over his Frisbee, at least as fired up over his Frisbee as a dog who likes to do bite work might be fired up over getting to bite something. Let's say I put him in my car, and as soon as I let him out of the car, we're playing Frisbee, yahoo! And I had an automatic deploy button open the door, we're playing Frisbee every single time we get out of the car. And let's say that I don't ever just take him out of the car and walk him around in a calm fashion or tell him, you know, we're not playing Frisbee right now, we're just being a dog. Well, then obviously every time he gets out of the car, he's going to think that that's what we're going to do. And I remember a news story. This was many years ago. I don't even know if you can Google search it anymore, but I thought it was pretty disturbing. I'm trying to remember where this happened. It might have even been in Ohio. I don't know. But it was too long ago for me to say for sure. But what was this is how this particular story went. There was a canine officer and he had a dog and the dog was in his car. And there was somebody doing something and the officer was chasing this guy down. So the officer chasing the guy down got to the guy that he was chasing maybe a block later. And when he got to the guy, they started getting into some sort of scuffling, wrestling, you know, some it got a little physical. And in that physical scuffle, the automatic open the deploy to the dog button got pushed. So the dog, you know, was deployed from the car. So, you know, you might think, oh, yeah, here comes Rin Tin Tin to help his police officer friend with this guy that's scuffling. No, that's not what happened. What happened was the dog jumped out of the car and sort of mindlessly went after the first person who was there, who happened to be a 12-year-old boy. Okay, so then, of course, you know, we've got the information that I just shared with you that these dogs are not trained to let go on a command and certainly not from any distance. So that required now the police officer had to go all the way back a block to his dog who's chewing up this 12-year-old kid and pry the dog off the kid. Not good. Okay. So let's just say that A, we weren't pattern training the dogs. That meant sometimes when you're deployed, you're not going to just bite the first thing that's there. Let's say that we also have an out command or, whatever command you want. I don't know. Stop. And you can say it from up close or from far away. Then if that were the case and this happened accidentally, you would be able to tell your dog to stop from a distance. The dog would stop and that might be a good thing in this case. So, you know, I've talked to people who do bite work training, and sometimes I think they're just like a little wacky just in general. I've had people that had puppies. They wanted to do obedience training, but they were planning on doing bite work. And, oh, well, we can't do that because that's going to damage the dog's drive. Oh, we don't want to do that kind of control because now the dog is not going to have the drive to do. You know what? Here's a newsflash. If your dog's drive is that fragile that introducing any kind of control is going to destroy their drive, then maybe you should get a different dog to do this. Because if you're asking a dog to do some specialized work, like guide dog work, not all dogs make it as guide dogs. Well, maybe not all dogs should be police dogs either. And I know a lot of dogs are dismissed from police work for not quite cutting it. But I think that this, if the standards of training were raised and what we expect both from the dogs and from the handlers, just from a training point of view, watching this whole thing go down It was ridiculous. The guy had no control of his dog from the get-go. You know, and I think it was funny that the state police were saying, don't unleash your dog. The dog wasn't on a leash. Maybe if he had him on a leash, it would have been a bigger movement to unleash that. I have no idea what this guy was thinking. And clearly he didn't know either, because when he got across the street and he just let go of the collar, the dog was going the opposite way. What is that? So if that's not clear evidence that this whole thing was just crazy, I don't know what is. So, you know, what's the answer? Is the answer, let's just not use police dogs because we can't depend on the people that handle them and the dogs themselves? Or maybe the answer is, let's raise the bar on what our expectations of what we want from these handlers and their dogs, or maybe both. I don't know, but I get a little fired up here on that story. But anyway, we need to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Little bag of bones been out all night. Little bag of bones been out all night.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. And you are more than welcome to call in. If you want to call in, it's 860-522-WTIC, which is 860-522-9842. And I will be in again next week. I'm usually not in 2 weeks in a row, but I am next week. Anyway, as I always suggest, or at least put it out there, if you want to talk to me off the air, just check my website, Lori Fass Dog Training, and you can get my phone number and my email address. And it just popped into my head, I might want to share this. I don't know why. Google, I think, they made some kind of page. You Google search a business, you want to know when the restaurant is open or whatever. And they decided they were going to put my hours. I never put anything in there. I don't have any hours listed in there. And they listed the most bizarre hours. I don't keep those hours. So if you find me on Google and it's telling you that my hours are whatever they say my hours are, they're not. Okay. So you can call me anytime. If I don't pick up the phone, it's because I can't. You leave a message, I call you back, okay? So anyway, I'm just saying, if you're trying to call me off the air, sometimes people have said to me, well, you know, I didn't want to call you because it wasn't your hours. And I go, how do you know what my hours are? My hours are by appointment, not the hours they set on there. So anyway, just public service announcement here. Okay, I think we have a caller. And we just need to wait a second until they're all clear. But anyway, I was talking before about police dog stuff. And as I said, I could probably go on, like do the whole show on that. But we're not going to do that because we're going to talk to Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm good. My doggy isn't so good. She had kennel cough. I go to a dog park in Kim, which is very wooded, wood chips, but they have a community dog bowl, which I think she got kennel cough from.
Uh-huh.
She's over that. It was 2 months ago. I kept her home for 2 weeks. But the last 3 days, because I go every morning, the last 3 days she's been trying to vomit, but she vomits like it's clear. It's kind of a white, okay, clear thing. It's not, so I want to see if there's any home remedies I can do or.
Is she just coughing up like mucus?
It's just like mucus. It's like a white, frothy, but clear. Yeah.
Okay. Is she eating any weird things like grass or anything like that?
No. Sometimes she would eat grass, but. I did take her swimming in a place, Town Forest, but the water's supposed to be good there.
Okay, well, was her throwing up related to time-wise drinking water from where you had her swimming? Or because my dogs will throw up if I, you know, sometimes you see dogs outside and they're, for lack of a better way, I'll say they're like foraging around, you know, they lick the grass, they pick up.
Well, at the dog park, she eats some of the, she's eating one of the wood chips.
Okay.
But she didn't throw up wood chips. She threw up like a bile.
Well, okay. I mean, there's so many reasons why, you know, a dog might do that. I mean, and obviously you could call him when Dr. Dennis is on. She might have a different opinion. But how old is your dog?
Year and a half.
Okay. All right. I mean, if my dog is throwing up something like what you just described, I'm not going to get too upset about it unless they're doing it a lot. Okay. So
well,
I don't...
She did it 3 mornings, but she acts fine otherwise.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let me ask, is there any yellowness into her?
No, none.
Okay.
None.
All right.
None.
Is she drinking water too fast or not drinking enough water?
She's never drank too much water.
Okay.
She hardly drinks. She'll drink water at the dog park, and I don't want her to drink that water.
Right. Well, maybe when you go to the dog park, bring your own water.
I'm going to start doing that, and then keep her away from that community.
Well, when
bowl.
She's throwing up, is it like a lot of water or just a little bit
no,
of mucus?
It's a little bit, but it's like...
She's done it three mornings in a row.
Yeah, she starts gagging. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it could be allergies. I mean, before I came to the radio show today, I took a herbal remedy called Fragrant Jade, which sounds great, but it's just a pill. And it's good for allergy stuff. And part of the reason I took it is because I didn't want to be on the air going... Because that's what I was doing.
Okay.
I felt like I was going to cough up stuff. And you can give Fragrant Jade... to a dog.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, you ask for alternative. I mean, I do a lot of alternative stuff. Sometimes I get people scared with some of the stuff that I do. But like my own doctor, I'll say, I'm going to do this. What do you mean you're going to do that?
And no, I'd rather try things before I go to the vet.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to just sort of figure out what it might be. You know, and obviously it could be a lot of things. But one of the things that, you know, there's a lot of pollen, there's a lot of bad air. And, you know, I know for myself, you know, if I start, sometimes I start choking and, you know, I'm not going to necessarily spit it up. I start drinking some water to calm it down. But after I take Fragrant Jade, it works very well.
Now I can give that to a dog?
You can give a dog Fragrant Jade, and it's very good for allergies. You know, you can get it from Amazon. If you have trouble finding it, then you can email me and I'll find it and send you a link.
Okay, great.
Okay. If I had to guess, and it's just a guess, you know, I don't know.
I would do that
before bed.
Okay.
And there's other homeopathic remedies. This is an herbal remedy. A homeopathic remedy is different for respiration and coughing and that kind of thing. But, you know, if your dog isn't drinking enough water to kind of maybe clear the mucus out, maybe you might want to.
She never has. Yeah,
well, maybe she needs a little more water and maybe you could get some bone broth.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
And have her drink that or mix bone broth into the water so that when you go to the dog park, because the dogs all want what the other one has. You know, oh, they're drinking that water.
Right.
It must be great, even though it's all yucked up, whatever.
So if you
had your own water and you had a little bone broth in it, what you have might even be better. But I think maybe drinking a little bit more fluid to kind of just thin out the mucus might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I think you could get her to drink a little more water by adding some bone broth to it.
Okay, I just thought, like, what could this be? She never did this before.
Allergies, if there's some kind of irritation and the mucus is being caused by the irritation. But I'm totally guessing, you know, and you know I'm not a vet. So, but, you know, I don't run my dogs to the vet every time they're sick. I'm in a poor house with my vet bills from this past year.
They didn't used to do that in the old farm days, you know. The dogs outside. And everyone to the vet.
Yeah, and I do that with myself, too. So, you know, as I say, I drive my doctor crazy. But anyway, that's the end of the show, so I'm going to have to let you go. Have a great day.
Well,
thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.